Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Vess Hashem, BPJ, share number 135. That's by Spleamy Joint Share, share number 135. We're talking about the various skills of an emotionally intelligent person necessary for interpersonal relationships and in marriage in particular. And the next one is, which we started to talk about in the previous share, is listening. Listening is loving. It's an act of love to listen deeply, empathetically towards another person. Effective listening skills is a subset of being empathetic and attuned to your spouse. You may make as many mistakes with your ears, so to speak, as with your tongue in communicating and in conflict. So we're going to talk now about the guidelines of what active and effective listening is. Really considering researching, and I started researching the art of listening, and maybe make a separate series of shiurim on that, Be'ezus Hashem. So here's a few guidelines regarding evaluating yourself in your interaction with your husband or wife. Number one is to maintain eye contact. Behind the idea of eye contact is not to appear distracted and staying focused. With a spouse also, there is a concept of loving that comes through eye contact. When we discussed the mitzvahs ayna in the other shiurim, we went through this. Another aspect of listening is to use receptive and open body language as you are listening. Don't cross your arms, don't turn away. You lean in, you don't move away. You don't pound your fist, you don't stiffen, you really focus. And then you ask appropriate probing questions. Probing questions in and of itself could be interfering and invading if you do it in a harsh way or in the wrong way, because the KGB, Nazis, they interrogated people, or people interrogate terrorists with probing questions. But here, what we mean is appropriate probing questions to show with caring and empathy how you are listening, how you're gathering information. Your gathering in information is an act of love. People don't recognize this because they think it's not romantic. It's not like hugging and saying and kissing and embracing, I love you. But when your husband or wife is trying to share something with you and trying to get themselves to be understood, and you are listening, and in that part of that listening, to increase your empathetic listening ability, you are asking questions. Oh, so let me understand what you are saying. Do you mean this? What exactly happened? And you want to clarify it. It is an act of love, and it's an extremely important aspect to listening. It helps you listen better. Also, while you're listening, and now you're ready to respond to what you listen to, you give only invited and welcome feedback or advice. You ask your husband or wife if he or she would be open to your feedback and ideas before stating it. Get clarity on what they are trying to convey. Find a way to make sure you fully understand what they are saying. And if you're not sure, you ask questions to clarify, to understand. For yeshiva bachrim or people who know how to learn, when you're trying to understand a Gemara or a Taisis or something, and you ask your Rebbe various questions, do you mean this or that? Or someone's in a Daf Yomi shir and you want to understand what the Maggid shir is trying to convey and you didn't catch it, and you're asking him, do you mean this and this and that? In a certain way, that's what you do for your spouse. And then you remain quietly attentive while you focus on what your husband or wife is saying. To be quiet, don't interject with your own issues and concern. And a lot of times what happens is while you're listening, you're thinking about your response. You're not listening anymore, really. And you're just thinking about your response, what you're going to say after your spouse finishes talking. That's not listening. Listening means you're totally focused. You're not being judgmental. You're not even thinking of a response now. You're just absorbing. Afterwards, you could pause. Say, hold on a second, or pause, and then you could process and then respond. So that is very important. Some people will claim, I can't listen and think straight when I'm angry. or I'm in conflict. And it's unrealistic to follow fear rules of fair fight techniques at those times when I'm upset. But that's not true. If you stay tuned into yourself and your spouse, you can keep negativity from interfering with your ability to think. And you can use whatever anger or upsetness you feel in an adaptive way. This is what emotionally intelligent people do. Most people are reactive by nature and they can't do this. This is something they need to be mechanech properly, bepoil on how to go about doing this. That even when you're upset, you have emotionally intelligent people will be able to adapt to it, will be able to understand that though I have negativity, I am going to put it on a hold. And I'm going to, with love, trying to figure out what's going on so I can understand. People take pride in, wow, he knows, he's such a brain, he knows so much and so intelligent and sharp. This is even more praiseworthy. This is a greater strength. This is greater intelligence. To be able to, despite your feeling angry, despite your feeling upset, that you could put that on hold and say, I love my spouse. I love my husband and wife. I'm going to try to understand what's going on. When people don't do that, then their anger escalates into rage and the situation becomes more difficult. So this is the key. You know, it's precisely when things get heated. That's when you need those fear fighting skills. That's when you need that EQ, the emotional intelligence. And that's when it's the most useful. So that is the listening aspect of emotional intelligence. Another aspect of emotional intelligence is sharing a problem. Many couples seek help with one in complaining or unhappy mode and the other saying, we are doing fine, we don't need help, or it's your problem, it's not my problem, but that's not true. If one of you has a concern about the relationship or concern that affects the relationship, then you both have a problem. Again, all this, I always make this disclaimer, when you're dealing with severe abuse, with psychopaths, sociopaths, true blue narcissists. Now, we all have narcissism in our nature, but there's some people that are really chronically ill in that narcissistic capacity. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about 90%+ that are not so. Then it's really the idea being it's both their problems. It's never one-sided. And generally speaking, like I said, other than those exceptions I mentioned, when one person is in the relationship has and they have a problem, they both have the problem. It's so common for us to be so fiercely committed to being right and to winning arguments. Have you ever found yourself make the claim that you cannot win an argument with your spouse? And the response to that is, glad to hear that. But truth is, there's no winner. A disagreement needs to end up being a win-win situation. Or at the very least, an agree-to-disagree type of arrangement when it can't be resolved. Sometimes there are things that you just see things differently and you agree and you're at peace with the fact that you see things differently and you work out a practical resolution in regard to that particular matter. Appropriate conflict management usually requires taking ownership and being able to apologize when you are wrong or when you were hurtful or when you were out of line. As an anecdote to blaming, it clearly requires you to use your emotions appropriately. Resist your impulses, to be persistent, to be tolerant, to delay gratification. Very hard to do. But emotionally intelligent people are accountable and they do this. We need to take pride in our emotional intelligence and in developing it. There's a book she quotes in this book, and again, I am talking on from a book, What Smart Couples Know, The Secret to a Happy Relationship by Patricia Kovalt. Fascinating and amazing book about emotional intelligence in marriage. She quotes another book, How to Say It for Couples, by an author, Paul Coleman, and he says this quote, if you always need to be right in your relationship, you're wrong. Because the purpose of a relationship conflict is to understand your partner's part of you, point of view, and your partner's feelings. It works well if it goes both ways. This concept is scary for many people, because when you recognize that you could be wrong and you take a share in the responsibility, then you feel like you lose power or control, or you're worried you will never get what you want or need. But if you persist in sharing the problem, you'll eventually see potential for empowerment, and you'll feel more personally powerful and not less so. This is the sad part about severe narcissistic characteristics in narcissists, that they can never be wrong. They can never be wrong because they are afraid of losing that power. The vulnerability of accepting that you could be wrong opens up a Pesach for a beautiful relationship once you get through this conflict. You can partner up when you disagree. You find solutions. You see ourselves as a we, not as a you and an I. How can we? What can we do about it together? What can we solve? And you do it that way, a lot of hurt and pain can be avoided. Truth is, when you know you are wrong about something and you own up to it, that also does a tremendous thing, tremendous, to mitigate a majority of these conflicts. Another aspect to recognize is that sometimes you may find some common differences of incompatibility, like we say. You know, like we're raised in different kinds of family systems, or we have different personalities, or we have different ways of relating, or because of the male-female gendered perspective differences, or we're put together differently in our emotional styles, we have somewhat different beliefs and values, or we have different needs, or we express ourselves indifferently, and we like to do things differently. None of this, by the way, what I just described, is really true incompatibility. It's not. Real, true incompatibility does not really exist in most relationships. In abusive relationships, where one of them is a real, full-fledged, serious abuser, then, yeah, that's incompatible. Some other rare exceptions of incompatibility. Most people who say they're incompatible, they are compatible, despite the vast difference between them in those areas we just mentioned. The problems occur not because of these quote-unquote incompatible aspects, but because you lack EQ. You lack that emotional intelligence. And this lack of emotional intelligence and lack of conflict management skills, that is the problem. Not the incompatibilities. Not even the issues that are coming up. And the encouraging part is, and to encourage everyone listening, to go back, evaluate your level of EQ. When you're tempted to claim that you and your spouse are incompatible, while it may appear like that on the surface, you know, that's common sense, of course, what else? But you'll recognize that that is not so. A remarkable number of couples insists that the problems of their relationship and marriage is that they are incompatible due to their differences. And it's one of the biggest blind spots in marriage. It's a warped misconception. And it takes a lot of time and effort to see a process of how you can handle conflict in a way that's significant, more than the context of what it is. So this is the idea. The positive thinking and the optimism is also an EQ skill in a face of a conflict. Negative thoughts about your partner has an enormous power if you get stuck in being malagera, in ruminating about something you dislike in your spouse or an action that upset you. So instead of what happens, what you should do is limit those thoughts. Put it in a little compartment if you have to deal with it. You don't bury it under the rug. We always say you don't deny reality, but you put it in a small shelf and you replace them with positive thoughts and reframing thoughts. Thoughts are very, very powerful. Positive thoughts are powerful. Negative thoughts are powerful. They can have an immense power and impact on the interpretation of how you interpret events and how you recognize reality. So that is an extremely important aside to remember. Bracha v'atzlacha.